2019 is starting off with a special treat. Today we have David Sobon. He's the founder and owner of DSA Events. How you doing, David?
I'm doing fantastic.
It's about time we got you. Yeah, it's New Year. You're the first guest of the new year. I mean, how does that feel?
Special. Obviously, you're making your guests feel special, so I feel special today.
Awesome. All right, well, let's get to know David Sobon. Talk to us about your entrepreneurial journey, overview of your company, and let's get to know you.
Well, DSA Events is what how you introduced me. So DSA Events is a number of things. I think my entrepreneurial journey started a long, long time ago. And that was really just in the sales industry. I've never had a job other than working in a grocery store, maybe 40 some odd years ago, that was a job that had an hourly wage. I've always been an entrepreneur as far as a salesman.
Yeah.
So I've
Sales guys are entrepreneurs, right?
Well, yeah.
Generally?
I've never had a salary in my life. I've never had an hourly job. So if you're working on commission, I think you're considered an entrepreneur from day one.
Absolutely. So you grew up in a sales industry. What prompted the decision to go out on your own and launch DSA?
Well, it started off part-time. I was working in the radio industry for years, and in the radio industry sales.
Okay.
Part of my personality is there's always more than one thing going on. So I've never been bored a day in my life, but having 100% focus on just one thing has been very difficult for me for my entire life. So working in radio for as long as I did, there was always something else going on. I was either involved in events or involved in fundraiser or parties in one aspect or another. And when it came right down to some of the philanthropical things I was interested in, I wasn't really crazy about the way they were making money. And I decided, as president of the PTA of my school, that I knew a better way to raise money than selling cookie dough and candy bars and wrapping paper and all that kind of stuff. And it ended up that I'm going to throw an event. And that event ended up being, the very, very start of probably DSA Events. And that event was basically a fundraiser for my son's school. And I decided that it needed to have an auction to raise money and have fun. I didn't put two and two together of who was going to be the auctioneer until it was like, oh, I can do that. How hard can it be? And I think I was just, there's obviously a little bit of natural talent that has to go into deciding that, yes, I can do that with no preparation at all. Obviously, there's been a big learning curve and a lot that's happened, in the last 20 years of doing that. But the bottom line is I had people come to me afterwards and say, that's the best auction I've ever been to. What do you charge? Wow. And I was laughing. I go, what do you mean? What do I charge? You can get paid to be an auctioneer?
Wow.
So I did that for quite a few years. It ended up turning into an event company, and the event company and doing the auction has got me a team of other auctioneers and event planners that work with that. And that's all led to Wide Open Walls, which is really an awful lot of my attention right now. There's nothing I love more than being on stage and being an auctioneer out there and helping nonprofits raise money. But Wide Open Walls is another passion of mine. Like I said, I got to have more than one thing going on.
Well, Wide Open Walls, you recently won Innovator of the Year recently in Sacramento. Talk to us about that award and why was it? How is it so innovative to create this this charitable organization?
Well, it kind of sort of surprised us and sort of blew us away. The Innovation Awards have always been tech. It's the newest medical device. The first two winners were the Golden One Arena.
Yes.
Was the first a winner. And then it was UC Davis Medical.
Yes. And
right.
And
so you're talking about, and the other people that have been honored for this award before, and even in the little 10 subcategories, it's all high tech and all very, very important stuff, but not art.
Yeah.
And art is what won it this year, and Wide Open Walls, our team won it. It wasn't a personal award by any means. It was the team at Wide Open Walls, our nonprofit, basically got recognized as being the innovation of the year in Sacramento, and I'd say we're in pretty good company.
Well, tell us what you do.
Well, Wide Open Walls is the largest mural festival on the West Coast. It started 3 years ago as a small little festival called the Sacramento Mural Festival.
Okay. So we're talking about a mural where people paint on the side of a wall.
We paint huge on the side of the wall.
Okay.
I mean, to give you an idea, I'll get back to the story, but what I mean by huge is we have multiple walls that are over 10,000 square feet. There's an 18-story image of Johnny Cash from the American Civics Project by Shepard Fairey on the Marriott Hotel.
Wow.
I mean, it is an absolute landmark for Sacramento. We have painted over 100,000 square feet a year of permanent art on buildings. And it's all with the theme of art for all. When it comes right down to it, it's we want to be able to have everybody have access to the things that in the past have just been a little bit different, right? You know, you don't have to pay to go to a museum or go into an art gallery, which are still wonderful things. But, you know, the kids these days, all the way up to the grandparents, are kind of getting into the murals. Sacramento really loves their mural art.
We love it. Okay, so get back to your story and talk to us about how you ended up launching this Wide Open Walls.
Well, it started off of just a concept of mine that I brought to the Sacramento Metropolitan Arts Commission, their nonprofit. I was involved and I was on their board. And I just liked the idea of basically, I wanted to just innovate one particular alley in Sacramento, one street in between J and K, Improv Alley. There was just one area that I wanted to focus on. Let's just put art in the alley and see if we can get people to come look at it. Hmm. Well, it was successful. I didn't put very much art on that alley because those landowners weren't necessarily into it quite yet. Now,
so
a
you have
lot
to get the building owner to agree to let you paint on his wall. You don't sneak in the middle of the night and it's not like graffiti.
Well,
right, so
it used to be called graffiti, but now it's called murals,
okay.
And now it's done with permission.
Yes.
At least what we're doing is always done with permission. The landowners not only have to agree, but they actually chip in.
Oh,
we are a
nice
nonprofit, and it's pretty expensive to come up with all the materials, to secure all the rules, all the regulations, the equipment. And plus, we're different than any other mural festival out there. We pay our artists. The vast majority of the mural festivals that are out there do not pay their artists. They basically allow them to come in. They give them 100% rein of what it is that they want to paint. And mine is more of a relationship between those landowners. So why does a landowner want to have a mural put on their building? A lot of reasons. It creates a landmark. The landmark of that Johnny Cash mural is going to be there for generations. Our kids' kids are going to be able to see that Johnny Cash on there because it's been sealed, and it adds value to the building.
Yeah.
Now that building is known as the hotel with the murals on it. So it's got a Howard Nozem from the first year. It's got an Anthony Padilla mural on there now, Kinetic Ideas. And now the most famous street artist in the world, Shepard Fairey, the Obey brand of clothing, Shepard Fairey, who did the Obama Hope poster, he has blessed Sacramento with a mural on there. So the cooperation between the landowners, them shipping in money, and them realizing the value of having this art on their buildings makes them willing to pay for it now, because there's obviously a lot of cost into doing this. The nonprofit literally raised $500,000 last year just to pull off this festival. But that agreement between the landowners and there, they also see the value of anti-graffiti. So in other words, graffiti is not going to happen. I mean, it does in other areas, but buildings are a lot less likely to get tagged once they have a beautiful mural on them. It's just called respect. The graffiti artists literally, you know, they respect the art.
Well, you had such a great year last year. Obviously, it's been this journey. Here we are, 2019, the beginning. Are you the type of guy that sets goals, does New Year's resolutions? I mean, how do you approach, what's your feelings right now toward 2019?
Man, we got some things planned for 2019. I love that question. You know, it's always about, we're doing some strategic planning right now and meeting with people that are not in the industry. I'm meeting with people that don't like me.
Really?
Well,
somebody doesn't like David Sobon.
Well, okay, or they don't like what I'm doing necessarily, right?
Okay.
They don't have the same enthusiasm for what I'm doing, and they see that it's not all necessarily positive. So I'm trying to put different people on a committee to do this long-term strategic planning to find out what is the life of this project. I mean, Philadelphia has 8,800 murals. Sacramento has like 600 or 700. And you don't even know about most of them because most of them have been done just incognito in the background and they're not made aware of. What our goals were is to make Sacramento known as a place for art. It literally spurs economic development. And that's kind of what sort of this long-term goal of mine is. What does the next 5 or 10 years look like? Is it just murals? Is it an art festival? Is it an art fair? Is it a concert series? We sold over 4,000 tickets to our very first concert that was part of the mural festival last year. So that gives me an awful lot more vision and hope for what this little mural project can actually do for Sacramento. What can it do to spur economic development and what it means for the future?
Well, as an entrepreneur, right, you've built a successful auction company, and we didn't spend a lot of time on that, but you also have enough time to develop this this charitable organization, this innovative Wide Open Walls. I mean, I wonder how a guy like you, you know, figures out a way to accomplish so much, right? And we're always looking for hacks, winning strategies, right? How does a guy like David Sobon do so much?
I don't waste time watching television, which is probably a
okay.
Good thing.
No TV.
Well, I can't say no TV because right now, I think you saw me limping in here, and I just did a knee replacement, and I had been binge watching a couple of shows. But I think, you know, that it's really important. I mean, it's I think a lot of it really has to do with conversations with like people, right? I mean, people that are inspired for what I'm doing and I'm inspired what they're doing. And it's sort of just an energy, I think, when it comes right down to it. And if I like something enough and if I think there's enough potential, it doesn't matter if you have time. You'll just make the time. You'll find the energy and you'll make the time to do it. I think that's what it really comes down to, is just your passion behind what you're doing. I got way too many things to do, you know, for the rest of my life to start slowing down now.
Well, doing things that we love to do, we always hear about that. Do your passion, find your passion. I'm imagining as an auctioneer, you get tasked with auctioning off items that are you're not that passionate about, right? So, hey, I need you to auction off this 5-star bank mug. Could you do that? I mean, like, could you get passionate about that and get somebody to bid on this?
They're my bank, so you know how passionate I can be about 5-star bank.
What's
James and the crew right
there. Are you
one
of those guys that can talk really fast? You know, all that stuff and get the thing.
Well,
are you that guy?
Well, yes and no. I am the guy that's passionate and then engages with the audience. I don't necessarily need to talk fast to be able to do it. I was never, and I hate to say it, all of my other auctioneers were trained as auctioneers because that's one of the requirements that I personally have, but I never was trained.
Okay.
I basically sort
of. You've never been trained to be, you're self-taught on the auctioneer.
Right, and now I teach other auctioneers.
Wow.
So it's just part of that passion. I think at a very, very young age, there was a lot of descriptions that teachers used to describe me, and I think the kindest one was probably enthusiastic.
I think that
enthusiasm just kind of boils through in a lot of things. So yes, of course I could sell that 5-star bank coffee mug to anybody on the planet, and I could probably get you, Mark, to spend more than $1,000 for that coffee mug right now, right here, right now.
Heck yeah, 5-star bank, the entrepreneur's bank. I'd do anything for those guys. Heck yeah.
They're fantastic.
Okay, so just closing thoughts, right? You're this innovative guy. You're a sales guy who's turned out to build this incredibly fun career. Also rewarding, you're doing what you love. Just advice to that next person in line who's thinking, you know what, maybe I need to follow my passion. Thoughts as they approach 2019 and this year that that has so much opportunity?
You know, spend less time watching TV.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, when it comes right down to it, it's wasted time. And I think I learned that lesson from my father. I think, you know, he got into football later on in his years, so he started watching football. But other than that, you know, there might have been some PBS shows, but the man just read. I mean, he's just been the greatest inspiration to me and my mother. They both run a very, very successful business, Shenandoah Vineyards and Sobon Estates. They have a couple, three wineries up in the foothills. They're semi-retired right now, but their passion for that business has literally, I think, helped drive me. But as far as advice goes, I think you've probably heard it a million times before, but it's find out what you love to do.
Yeah.
And just because you didn't love it as much or it wasn't successful, the same thing, I think you know, what you don't know about me and what we didn't really have the time to talk about is I've probably had 7, 8, 9, 10 things that I've been this enthusiastic about. They didn't all make money.
Yeah.
I had fun doing all of them.
Well, as entrepreneurs, we get accused of chasing shiny objects, and that, sometimes that's a way to get you out of focus. And you, I've seen businesses really fail because they chase too many things at one time. Yep. I mean, how do you avoid that?
My wife's thing is squirrel.
Yeah.
Squirrel? Concentrate, Dave. Concentrate. Yes. You got squirrels running through your brain, running all over different directions. I think a lot of it that has to do with taking the time to breathe, whether you're going to pray, whether you're going to meditate. You just got to take it all in and just, you know, obviously it's a phrase we've heard a million times, but stop and smell the roses, right? I mean, just got to take it all in and really appreciate what you've got out there, from your friendships to your business relationships to, you know, everything that you've been fortunate to gain in your life.
David, thank you for coming on the show. David Sobon, he's a founder and owner of DSA Events. He's also the innovator of the year with Wide Open Walls and his team. I know how appreciative I am for what you guys do in our community. Thanks, Dave, for coming on.
Thank you, Mark. Can you hear the drumming? There's a revolution coming. Why do we-